Introduction to Kantapura. Our heading: Preface to Kantapura. In the preface of Kantapura, Raja Rao writes, "One has to convey in a language that is not one's own. We cannot write like the English. We should not. We cannot write only as Indians. We have grown to look at the large world as the part of us." This suggests that the style that he opted to write in was different from either that of Englishmen or that of Indian writers in English. He has made a conscious attempt to forge an English prose style based on the features of Sanskrit rhymes. Raja Rao has used both French and English as his media for literary expression, though it is in English that he has made by far the weightier contribution. There is good case for regarding him as the most ambitious and brilliant Indo-Anglian novelist of the 20th century. Our next heading: Indianness of Kantapura. Kantapura is the name Raja Rao gives to the South Indian village of his novel, a village intended, we discover, to symbolize Hindu India herself, an ancient slow-moving village. High on the ghats it is, high up the steep mountains that face the cool Arabian Sea up the Malabar coast. This novel tells us how this remote backwater of a place is stirred to life by the impact of Mahatma Gandhi until, through a catharsis of violence, it becomes the living epitome of the Satyagraha before being crushed by the ruling power, Williams. Rao knows that in India, every village is rich in local myths and legends, Sthala Purana as he calls them. The novel focuses on the intensity of Indian life, its physical immediacy, its traditional swaddling and its religious murmurations. The action is located in a single village and told in the traditional way by a grandmother, a weathered and humorous old lady whose relation makes racy and natural connection between the event of the fiction and the ancient myths. The one becomes translucent to the other. Gandhi is the god as well as the politician marching to the salt pans, Murti the god's manifestation as the non-violent, frantic young leader, the policeman is the whole negation and evil of life. Kantapura gives us a living picture of a representative South Indian village which is passing through a hectic phase of the Congress movement under the inspiring overall leadership of Mahatma Gandhi, the apostle of non-violent Satyagraha. The national movement has seeped down to every man and woman in the village. Every villager is becoming a hero and is wholeheartedly participating in this national movement in his or her own way. Kantapura is not merely a political novel. The three distinct stands of experience, viz. The political, the religious, and the social, are so dovetailed into one another as to present to the reader a realistic picture of the social, political, and religious awakening that took place in the 20s and 30s of the present century in India. The description of the village, its physical features, and its separate quarters for those belonging to different castes and professions and the day-to-day life of the villagers, with the monotonous event of planting, harvesting, and marrying, and the occasional celebrations of festivals disturbing the even tenors of their life, is quite realistic. This realism is transmuted by Raja Rao's emotional attitude to the people and admiration for the Indian tradition. Heading: Rao and Gandhi. Kanthapura is an epic of freedom struggle, encompassing India's vastness within its artistic structure of a work of fiction, especially the grand battles fought on the field of the village. Like a typical Indian village, in Kanthapura, different parts of the village are occupied by different communities like Brahmin Street, Potter's Quarters, Sudra's Quarters, Paria Quarters, and Weaver's Quarters, etc. But even in this distant village, Mahatma's presence is felt everywhere, and on the physical level, he is projected through Murthy, the leading figure of the novel, and Gandhi of his village folk. The narrow considerations of caste, creed, and religion wither away in the presence of this young man who has dedicated his life to the ideals of Gandhi. When Murthy is seen on the threshold, the bright light of the police lantern falling on his neat face, Rachana cries out, "Mahatma Gandhi ki jai," and the policeman rushes at them and bangs them with his lathi, and Rachana quavers out the louder, "Mahatma Gandhi ki jai." And other policemen come and bang them too, and the women raise such a clamor and cry that the crows and bats set up an obsequial wail, and the sparrow join them from the roofs and eavers, and the cattle rise up in the byre, and the creaking of their bones is heard. And then men rush from this street and that street, and police inspector, seeing this, hesitates before coming down, and Rachana barks out again, "Mahatma Gandhi ki jai," and the police inspector shouts, "Arrest that swine," and when they come to arrest him, everybody gets round him and says, "No, we will not give him up." And the police inspector orders, "Give them a licking." And from this side and that, there is the bang of the lathi, and men shriek and women weep, and the children begin to cry and groan, and more men go forward toward Murthy, and more policemen beat them, and then Murthy says something to the police inspector, and the police inspector nods his head, and Murthy comes along the veranda and says, "Brothers," and there is such a silence that the Kartik lights glow brighter. "Brothers is the name of the Mahatma. Let there be peace and love and order. As long as there is a God in heaven and purity in our hearts, evil cannot touch us. We hide nothing. We hurt nothing. We hurt none. And if these gentlemen want to arrest us, let them. Give yourself up to them. That is the true spirit of the Satyagrahi." Next heading: Epic Pattern. Kanthapura is based on the pattern of an Indian epic, the Ramayana. India is Sita in the toils of the British, Ravana, the many-headed Rakshasa. To rescue her, the gods sent the people of India against the British, who are called the Red Men. Gandhi's message is one of ahimsa, non-violent protest, but paradoxically he is spoken of in terms of the warrior Rama and the heroic fight against Ravana. The idea is that the epic tradition can somehow be absorbed into Satyagraha. In fact, the non-violent protest of the villagers is met by imprisonment and the lathi charges when the village allies itself with rebel coolies of the Skeffington Coffee Estate. Though the villagers suffer defeat, the dream of the Ramayana sustains their hope of ultimate success. They say, says the village narrator of the novel, the Mahatma will go the red man's country and he will get us Swaraj. He will bring us Swaraj, the Mahatma, and we shall be happy, and Rama will come back from exile and Sita will be with him. For Ravana will be slain and Sita freed, and he will come back with Sita on his right in a chariot of the air, and brother Bharat will go to meet him with the worshipped sandal of the master on him head. H. M. Williams. Next heading, Myth and Matrix in Kanthapura. Before proceeding to examine myth, matrix and meaning in Raja Rao's modern Indian classic Kanthapura, it would be helpful if the term myth is made more explicit, especially when we are dealing with Indian myths in a literary work by an Indian author written in English. English language, by its genesis, historical growth and cultural assimilation, has been saturated with myths from Anglo-Saxon and non-Anglo-Saxon cultures of Europe, as well as some of the Sumerian and Semitic myths from the Mesopotamian culture absorbed and transmitted by Judeo-Christian traditions. Consequently, literary creation and literary criticisms in English, or as to that matter in any European language, generally assumes an awareness of such myths. For example, when a reference is made, whether by a writer or critic, to redemptory suffering of Prometheus or Job, Deirdre, or Dr. Faust, with meaning ingrained deep down in the Greek Judaic, Celtic and Teutonic mythology, the symbolic meaning of that suffering in regard to Christian mythology or literary reference need not be elaborated. But if the myth of Harishchandra or Tai 1/4 are added to the list, we are suddenly confronted by a mental fog, not because these myths have no meaning in the Indian and English mythology, but simply because these myths, though having identical meaning, have not been integrated up till now into the experiences underlying English literary creation and critical expression. On the other hand, while myths of Prajapati teaching his disciples with one syllable da, or Liu Zhu's myth of yin yang, are becoming a part of Western literary experience. Symbolic ideas such of nirvana or karma and literary concepts like ras and yugen, though of Asian origin and having profound significance in Asian traditions, are becoming more and more assimilated into the contemporary consciousness. It is only a question of time when such progressive assimilation and synthesis of a larger body of global myths and ideas happens in a language. In the absence of such assimilation of Indian myths in the English literary consciousness, it would be useful for our purpose to examine the generic nature of the myth, its operation and literary function, so that from such expositions we may deductively see the way Indian myths function in the matrix structured by Raja Rao. John B. Alphonso, Alphonso, Karkala. Introduction to Kanthapura is over.